all teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRNP guest line. Joining us now, James Palmer of NFL Network, former Houstonian. Thanks, James, for taking a few minutes to hang out with the Killer Bees on this Thursday afternoon. You were out at Texans training camp the other day. Glowing things to say about Davis Mills. I know you compared like the rookie draft class, things like that, but just Davis Mills is an NFL caliber starting quarterback. What do you see and why can't it work?
Well, he looked at the 2 days I was there at camp. He definitely looked like an NFL starting caliber quarterback. And I had a chance to talk to Davis for a while. And, you know, he was very open and honest, guys, about, you know, the way last year went and said, you know, I wasn't ready to play when I got thrown into it early. And I think rightfully so, if anybody watched training camp and the number of snaps that he was getting. And then when you saw him take a break and then come back for those final 10 games, I mean, that was there's an argument to be made for his case to be playing better than any other rookie quarterback last year. You'd say his biggest competition is probably Mac Jones. I mean, in your rookie season, if you're thrown in on a roster that the Texans had, I think that should be put in place as well, with the coaching situation that was there as well, as opposed to the situation Mac Jones was thrown into, with obviously we know where he landed, and the environment is so important to what happens with young quarterbacks. No quarterback as a rookie last year had a higher completion percentage. No quarterback had a greater yards per game than Davis Mills. And the biggest, you know, endorsement you can get is from your own teammates. When I had a chance to talk to a couple of veteran guys that have been there, the thought was this. Down the stretch, you know, if you get down and you got a rookie quarterback as a defense, you start going, well, I mean, whether you want to believe it or not, they're going, you know, not sure if we can come back from this. With Davis, it was, if we get a stop, we know he can turn this around and go and score on the opposite side. When defenders that have been in this league start thinking that way about you during your rookie season, I think you got a pretty good chance to be something. And obviously, we're not saying right now, and I'm not saying he's going to light the world on fire in his second season, but I think this year there is a reason why they want to see how he plays. And I think that's extremely strong endorsement to Davis Mills. And when I talked to Christian Kirksey after practice, I think on Tuesday, we talked about everything under the sun with the organization. I was like, is this Davis Mills' team? He was like, oh, no question. This is his team. This is his team.
James, you cover, obviously, you used to be in the market, but you cover all the NFL. But you've seen this Texans team now under Lovie Smith as opposed to the team you saw a year ago under David Culley. Tell me the differences. Tell me what you've seen so far, and tell me why Houston Texans fans should feel like this is totally different in a positive way.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody in the league yesterday, and they were like, you know, everybody was kind of scratching their head. Lovie, okay, let's see. And now they're like, I think this could work. Like, I think this could work. And I had a chance to talk to him after practice for a little bit and watching practice for 2 days. I do think they were really well-run practices. And like I said, I'm going around camp to camp. I was in Vegas before that. I'm in Denver today. I'm heading to Kansas City. And how practices run is you know, pretty indicative of sometimes of what you might see from the team. I thought they towed the line of being physical and not being overly physical in practice with the pads on is a really good sign of kind of how guys are flying around in that sense. Do I think there's plenty of question marks? For sure. But do I see some bright spots under Lovie? Yeah. And I think the number one thing is he's going to go let rookies play. And I think that's important with this draft class. I've talked to enough decision makers around the league over the last month about how everybody's looking, and there's several people around the league that are like, this was a pretty good draft class down there in Houston. And I would agree. I did Derek Stingley's pro day at LSU. He looks like he's getting better each and every day that I've seen him at camp, and he definitely has the physicality to come in, and he's going to be the number one corner right off the bat. I'm told he might be following guys already early in the season. Lovie's letting these young guys go and play. You know, Jalen Petrie is another one of them that some of you guys told me is just a really good football player. That's what he is. He does everything kind of right. Very smart player. And, you know, and Christian Harris comes in, and you just have guys that he's letting go out and play early. And I think that's an important part of where this organization is, right? To let these guys go and play early. I think where they're at as an organization, that's really big.
It's James Palmer of NFL Network joining us on the HRNP guest line. I think it's a breath of fresh air in this city of letting the rookies play. And I know Bill O'Brien, when he was the head coach, he kind of scoffed at the idea of playing rookies, can't be bothered by rookies. It was a different team then. That was a playoff-worthy team. I don't think anybody's really banging on the door saying the Texans will be a playoff team right now. In the direction of this organization, young guys, develop them, that's going to be the foundation, the core of what ultimately gets the Texans back to the postseason and the playoffs. When you look at the Texans from the broad view and you evaluate what Nick Caserio is doing with the Houston Texans, and you alluded to some of it with Lovie, you know, it's not the embarrassment that they once were. What do you think they are in the rebuild? How quickly can they be formidable when you talk about a postseason team in the NFL?
Yeah, well, when you're looking at your rebuild, right, the quarterback's always the number one spot that you're looking at. And if you find that quarterback, then it changes everything. And I think you're looking at a decent comparison of a team that's probably further along than the Houston Texans, but kind of has some of the same build in question, is the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, right now they're taking a look going, all right, Jalen Hurts took us to the postseason last year. And my comparison is this, because I do think as a roster, the Eagles are a better roster than the Texans. But my point is, when you're looking at your quarterback and you're evaluating your quarterback, if Jalen Hurts is the guy, and he's a second-round pick, and Howie still has those two first-round picks for next season, then you can use all of your capital to continue to build your roster around that quarterback. Davis Mills being a third-round pick and all of the capital they have from Deshaun Watson's trade, like then you can start building around your quarterback and building your roster. And you kind of saw that already in kind of what happened with this year's draft. And you're like, these are a lot of pretty good players and pretty good picks. If you get those third and fourth rounders to go out there and play like starters, that's extremely important and valuable to you have. And when that third or fourth rounder that the starter is your quarterback, very similar like Seattle, where you're granted a few free years, essentially, in terms of cap space, which they have plenty of, and in terms of how your roster is constructed. So, yeah, in terms of the rebuild, I think everything is on the shoulders of Davis Mills. If they think he can be a quarterback that's in the top half of the league this year and then and beyond, then you might have something to build around. And I think that's really the crux of any roster rebuild with any team.
So that following up on that with two quick ones that I think are related in that, one, what does Davis Mills have to do, and is there a scenario where he does enough that they do what you say and say, now we realize we have our quarterback of the future and we're not going to focus on drafting another one, as opposed to, as we've talked about, a Bryce Young or others, and bringing in another guy, and there's really not a whole lot that he can do other to really take away from, especially Caserio's New England background of saying we love competition, Garoppolo and others always bringing him in. And then how much of an influence and a positive is Pep Hamilton in the development of a Davis Mills?
Oh, I'll go with the Pep one first. I had a chance to talk to Pep a little bit, and I don't think him moving in should be understated by any means. And because you look at the pelt he has on the wall, who he's worked with, and those are things that he's pulling up when he's working with Davis Mills. You know, he's looking like, hey, look, I did this with Andrew Luck, and he ran it this way, and look, we could have done it this way to protect him a little bit better, to protect him from himself, to operate it in this sense. And if you're a young quarterback and you're Davis Mills and you're looking, oh, that's Andrew Luck, and that's what this guy did with him, that's how he set him up to succeed, I think there's a really good cohesion between Pep and between Davis. I think he's one of these coaches that this could be actually this could actually be detrimental to the Houston Texans. If he turns Davis Mills into a really good player this year, and you see something from Davis Mills and you're going, okay, Texans have a quarterback, they may lose Pep Hamilton to a head coaching job. And so I think that's something that you do have to keep your eye on, because he's in one of those spots where that happens sometimes. Oh, great, now we got the quarterback. Oh, the guy who was just working with him, everybody just saw what he did with the third-round pick. Let's look at this guy as our head coaching spot. That's a little bit of a spot you could be in with Pep. And then what does Davis have to do? I think if they lose games, and I'll be honest, they're probably going to lose games this year, right? But are they losing them because of Davis Mills, or are they losing them because maybe they don't have a talented enough roster, or there's a lot of new pieces and young pieces that are playing around him? Well, if it's not Davis Mills' fault you're losing games, and he's coming back in games late, and, you know, he's giving you that confidence in the second half that you may be down, but he's going to bring you back. If you have that feeling and he has that grasp of a new offense, I think the way he operated in practice in the 2 days I saw gives me a bit of an idea of how he's going to operate. One instance I want to tell you guys about is there was an 11-on-11 period, and the running back ran the wrong play. And a lot of times that ball either gets spiked, or a quarterback kind of goes, oh, he's not where he's supposed to be, and they panic. He just saw the running back ran the wrong play. He turns, throws a dart on the other side to his first read. Like, it didn't faze him one bit. And the other play in the two-minute drill that he hit Brevin Jordan down the seam was the other spot that I really, really thought shined to me. And that's a play that was well covered, a play in a two-minute drill that he also completed a 4th-and-16. I think the calmness and the control is what you're looking for. And if he's not the reason you're losing games, they may have something.
James Palmer joining us on the HR&P guest line. One, I want to ask you real quick, from one current Texans quarterback to the former Texans quarterback, Deshaun Watson, obviously a huge storyline in the NFL this offseason. Got Sue Robinson's judgment earlier this week. Roger Goodell is going to appeal, going to find somebody outside of the NFL to handle the appeal. Ultimately, what do you think the suspension is going to be for Deshaun? I know that's a loaded question.
Yeah, it's a loaded question, because right now we're 24 hours from finding out that the appeal came down, and that's some people saw that coming, the way that Sue L. Robinson worded things, and some people, actually even in the Browns organization, were surprised that the appeal happened. So now we're in the appeal process where still now multiple things can happen. They can go back to negotiating some sort of settlement, which was discussed, you know, prior, a couple of months ago, if both sides would come to a settlement agreement. That could be back on the table. To my understanding, the NFL would like this to go back to a year suspension, an indefinite suspension, to where he could reapply after the year. So that is obviously in play of what they want. An appeal is in play. And then if they end up changing the games in any capacity, or the way it changes in that, this could go to federal court. And from my understanding is, that's a very real possibility as well. I mean, we saw Ezekiel Elliott's case go to multiple courts and take some time. I think the point I'm making is we still don't have a whole lot of clarity of what direction this is going to go, whether both sides come to some sort of settlement and a new suspension or fine, which is something the league wanted, which was not part of this ruling, comes down. That could be a possibility, or this thing could go on for a much longer period of time.
James Palmer, thank you so much for your time. Great stuff as always, and enjoy your trip around the league. I know you've been popping up some camps around town.
It felt good to be home, guys. I'll tell you, that's where my son was born. It felt good to be in Houston. I knew where to look on the practice field, even though it's a different coaching staff.
Yeah.
It was great. We're bouncing around, but it was a fun stop.
All right, James. Thank you very much. Hope to catch up again soon. James Palmer covers the NFL for NFL Network. Derek Stingley, is he going to be a follow receivers around type of guy? And will Davis Mills be a top half of the league quarterback, like James Palmer suggests could be possible? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, another word for Doc Linville. Look, guys, you look in the mirror every morning when you get up, when you're getting ready for work, and a lot of times you wish you didn't, because you know that you don't have the hair you once had, and you feel like that day is coming where you got to shave it all off or start, you know, just wearing a cap or consider other options like that mask the problems, like sprays and creams and foams. Well, before you do any of that, I encourage you to go to 975hair.com, because when you do, you'll realize that you can set up a meeting with Doc Linville, the premier expert, in my opinion, in the NeoGraft procedure here locally in Houston, and he can help you without having to shave it all off or resort to just trying to cover it up. Doc Linville and the NeoGraft procedure worked for me. It worked for John Granato. It's worked for Fred Fowler and Jake Asman and a ton of other people too. And the listeners that go to 975hair.com will find out that they can find out all about the procedure without spending a single dime. Because as a listener to ESPN, you get a consultation with Doc Linville's office for free, and it normally costs $150. And you can go in and ask all the questions you want and find out all the information you need to find out if this procedure is right for you too. The thing that is really interesting to me, that really sold me on the entire process, is one, it's your own hair, and it's taken from areas that you will genetically never lose it, the sides and the back. And it's locating that hair in areas where you need it, whether you have a thinning spot or you just have a bald spot and you think that there's no way possible to get hair back in that area again. You can, and it's possible. And for me, it was painless, and it was an unbelievable procedure in terms of, it was a game changer, because I could see that hair growing on a daily basis. Once they put those follicles where they belonged, I saw the development on a daily basis. It takes 6 to 9 months to see the full results. But the bigger thing to me was that impactful statement that he made to me, where he said, you know that 95%+ of the follicles we move stay and grow and will be there for the rest of your life. And I went, boom, that's it for me. That is a game changer. You can turn my 8-head back into a 4-head and get me my old hairline back. I'm trying this. I'm in for this. This sounds great to me. And he basically backed everything up. The procedure was fantastic. Check them out today. See if it's right for you, too. Go to 975hair.com. Go see my friend, Doc Linden.